What the hell is happening? Do you just skip the dessert portion of every holiday when the coffee and the cheesecake comes out because you've never had...
Well, I don't eat cheesecake.
Hello? Vitamin D5? Welcome to Sports. The podcast that, you know, ends with a question mark, but starts with the host naming something in the room with her and calling you that. I'm Katie Nolan. He's Travis.
What's up?
She's Christina.
Hello.
And this is today's question that, once again, I forgot is my job to play. Okay, here we go.
Press play.
Shut up, Travis. Oh my God, every time I push play, it tries to skip me further into the voicemail. I would like to push play.
Hi, Katie, Travis, and Christina. It's Erin from Ohio, and I made it my mission this year to complete 365 bucket list items, one of which is being used as a voicemail for your podcast. But my issue is I'm struggling. I only have 233 items. That made me wonder, do you guys have any unique bucket list items? Bonus points if they're COVID friendly. Anyway, love you, mean it. Bye.
Erin, I love you, and I mean it. That's important in this voicemail, because what I'm about to say to you comes from a place of love. A bucket list is, by definition, things you want to complete before you kick the bucket. So, first of all, having 233 is incredible. It's an incredible achievement. But it feels to you like you're falling short because the goal you set is impossible. And it also, if you completed it, by definition of what a bucket list is, you wouldn't have much left to live for. Because the list of things to live for, you completed in 1 year during a pandemic. You cannot do. And I'm hopeful that maybe, I don't know, Christine or Travis, you disagree. You cannot do 365 bucket list items in a normal year would be difficult. In a pandemic, should be impossible. So I love the ambition. I love your organization. You seem like the kind of person that I need in my life because you would teach me to set goals and achieve them. But allow me to teach you to slow down. I don't know how old you are, but you do not need to do 365. My bucket list might have three things on it. It's supposed to mean something when you get on a bucket list.
I feel like I'm questioning what's on her bucket list. This also comes from a place of, you know, caring about her because she's from Ohio. So clearly I'm...
Yes, gonna... so clearly that uh-huh. You pass his only test.
But like 365, that's... I feel like she's like Creed from The Office, where like his New Year's resolution was to do a cartwheel. Like, how do you have 365, like, what are these? Some of these have to be, like, simple, like, things. Like, mine's, like, go to Greece, like, skydive, like, big things. Not, like, easy at, like, I don't know.
I'm wondering what's on the bucket list, because to Travis's point, 233 things is a lot. So, what are these things? Because we're in a pandemic world. I don't know about you guys, but I haven't done very much in a pandemic world.
If I made a list of 233 things, not even bucket list items, 233 things I wanted to accomplish this year, my first instinct would be like to stop trying to make the list. Because 233 things you want to do this year, I don't think anybody has 233. There's a lot of not wanting to do stuff this year because this year stinks. And the thing the pandemic is teaching us is slow down a little and make the 233 or 23 things you get done matter more.
I think that, you know, the way I'm looking at it, though, is, first of all, I'm wildly impressed that Erin here has done 233 things, because I can promise you I have not done even a fraction of 233 things in the last year.
A day.
Yeah.
No, okay, Travis, you don't get to do that. You don't get to do that because you make fun of me for not showering. So you don't get to play both sides of that coin. You don't get to be relatable Travis who hates to take a shower and Travis who bullies Katie if she doesn't take a shower. Pick a side and live there. Make a bed and lay in it.
So for this podcast, I'm going to be on your side.
Oh, that's not how it works. You don't get to change the character that you are from podcast to podcast.
Well, I'm the producer.
You can do that from podcast to podcast, like my podcast and somebody else's podcast. You don't get to do that from today, this week's podcast. I'm going to be this guy. Next week, you know what? Screw it. Do whatever you want to do, Trevor. As I'm arguing it, I'm like, he's going to do it anyway, so just let him do it. That's my Travis song. So, Aaron, I think the point is, A, we would love to hear the 233 items you have deemed worth adding to your bucket list.
Send them in individual voicemails, please.
No, we don't have time for that. That is spoken by a guy who just said, I'm the producer, but doesn't have to listen to all the voicemails and pick which ones we play. So,
yeah, please don't waste your time doing that.
Speed read all 233 items on your bucket list.
Tweet them at Katie.
They may inspire some people. And then also know that the point of a bucket list is for them to be things you can accomplish before you can't accomplish things anymore, which is a euphemism for death. So if you have 233 things, you're way ahead of the game. Now slow down and make sure you enjoy doing them, or else what was the point, right? Bucket list things are supposed to reinvigorate your joie de vivre. You know, I've got the main one that comes to mind for me, attend a concert at Red Rocks. That is not pandemic friendly.
That's on my bucket list.
I'm going to add that to mine.
Fantastic. I'm so glad that got that response. A pandemic is taking away most people's bucket list. So using the time you're stuck inside to come up with what you want to do when the world comes back is a great way to spend your time. But do not hold yourself to this standard that you've got to knock them all out. Because then what are you going to do with every other year? Can't have a bucket list that has thousands of things on it. It ignores.
I also, though, like, you know, she's done 233 things up until now.
We don't know if she's done
them. Oh, so she's only made a list of that many. Yes. Okay. I think that the way I'm looking at it is these are things that Erin finds joy in, or else she wouldn't have written down 233 things that I'm assuming are capable to do during a pandemic.
Right.
I just don't think that anything I can offer her is going to be interesting because she already has so many. I don't know what else I can offer.
I can give you three things that bring me joy, and I don't want you to add any of them to your bucket list. Here's the thing. Let's rename the list. That's the answer. This isn't your bucket list. This is your joy list.
Cure COVID. Put that on your bucket list.
That's Travis's opinion. Now, and it might change next week, so don't put too much stock in it. My opinion is that you have a list of 233 things that, as Christina said, bring you joy at a time when it's very hard to find things that bring us joy. So stop worrying about the list and get cracking. Start doing them because I got like I said, three things, maybe five on a good day. And I've been trying to find joy in things I don't like doing, which is a completely different exercise altogether. You're doing the right thing, Aaron. You're locating joy in your life and writing it down on a piece of paper. Stop worrying about 365. It's a dumb number made up, but well, it's a smart number. I guess it's the revolution of the Earth around the sun, which is kind of what it's all about. Point is, you don't have to every single day doing something that you want to do before you die. And spending this much time making a list, it's like, well, you've now wasted a bunch of days. You're going to have to stack. You're going to have to do like two things a day. And that is even that movie about bucket lists.
I enjoyed that movie.
I bet you did, because it was an ensemble cast, and that's really one of the main things you're looking for. Do I know all of these people, or is one of them Shailene Woodley? Because if one of them's Shailene Woodley, I'm out. That's me quoting Travis. I love you, Shailene, if you're listening to this, which I know that you are. Great question, though, from Erin. I'm glad she called. If you have a great question and you would like to call, which many people did this week, our number, you can always at 860-506-5571. Hello.
What's up?
How are you both?
I'm doing wonderful.
Whoa.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. Do you care to elaborate?
No, Christina, before he elaborates, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Okay, cool. Travis, elaborate.
I have a date lined up for Saturday already.
Okay.
Where are we going? What are we eating? What's the app that we're going to order?
I'm not going to say where I never say where I'm going because I'm afraid that one of my friends will hear and show up.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were going to say because you were afraid the paparazzi would show up. And I was going to have bad news for you. Hi, Dan. Have a good pee. Sorry, Dan. Always friendly banter. He has to pee. It's like a tall drink of water. what was I going to... Oh, we should let everybody know that we are all employing the method taught to us by Pablo Torre on Thursday's podcast of hiding ourselves, and it's freaking all of us out.
No.
It's very weird.
It's the opposite of freaking me out, and I'm loving it.
Yeah?
Really?
When I first hit it, I was like, oh, I don't know if I like this, because I like to be able to see what I'm doing, but I'm actually enjoying it now.
Yeah, it grew on me with Pablo, too. I think the thing is, because I was explaining it to Dan, and Dan was like, oh, I hate looking at myself. And I was like, no, you're missing the point. I also hate looking at myself. It was that it became comfortable over the course of doing it for this long. We've been stuck inside for a year, that I got used to it, and now getting rid of it freaks me out in a way that I know isn't real, and I know is better. I'm better for it by not staring at myself while having a conversation. But it's just weirdly, it became too comfortable, and now I'm like, oh.
Yeah, now it's odd.
Now I especially don't know if I have a booger hanging out of my nose.
I was going to say, because I noticed, especially over the last couple of weeks, when I'm in a Zoom meeting, all I do is stare at myself, which is a totally selfish thing to be doing, because I 100% guarantee everybody else on this Zoom call is not staring at me while I'm not talking, just minding my own business.
They're probably also staring at themselves.
Oh, exactly. And so I understand that it's simply just in my head that I think that everybody's staring at me and watching what I'm doing and critiquing, you know, how my face looks and what I'm doing. And, oh, I scratched my face. Like, people are staring at me at all times. But I think it's obviously just in my head. So now that I'm not staring at myself, it's weird.
Is it sad, though, that we didn't realize that you could do this until just last week?
Well, there's got to be a reason that Zoom doesn't make it a very obvious right away, click this button and you can do it. You got to go in and find it, because people don't want to admit that they like to have it.
We'll tell you how to at the end of the podcast.
We already told them at the beginning of the last podcast, Travis. So now you're incentivizing people to not listen to that podcast.
Just trying to get them to stick around.
I think that's more so Travis admitting he didn't listen to the last podcast.
No, I actually listened to all of the interviews.
He edited it.
Yeah.
He edited it. I would love if we could fix that word. Edited it.
Nope. I'm leaving that one in.
Edited it. Edited. It's just dumb to say even when you say it right. Anyway, this is the podcast you chose to listen to. yesterday was Valentine's Day. I don't, look, I know people hate it, and I know people love it, and I know that everyone is, I think, coming back around on it. I'm trying to, you know, gauge where the national conversation on Valentine's Day is. This year for me, it was like, we don't need to do anything. It's usually, I mean, it's always very close to my birthday, so it always feels strange anyway. But instead, Dan and I just, like, talk to each other all day, which we kind of do every day, and it's helpful because he's good at talking, but I didn't really do anything. But I'm also not mad at anybody who did anything, because again, this year of all years, if there's something that brings you joy, don't worry about explaining it to other people, unless it's a bad thing like murder. You should explain that and also not do it. So anyway, question was, how was everybody's Valentine's Day?
I mean, I'm single,
so
you can still have a great Valentine's.
Well, you can get a deal on it on like two meals at a restaurant, and you can just eat both of them.
It was a nice day. I had pizza and wine, took a nap, and then lined up a date.
Sounds
so
fantastic.
It wasn't bad.
Yeah, it sounds like a home run of a day to me, Travis. Nothing.
Not only does that sound like a fantastic Sunday, that sounds like a fantastic Sunday. That's also Valentine's Day. You had a great Valentine's Day.
But see, here's the thing. I know that Christine's going to come over the top with some like elaborate thing.
But you know what? You should be happy for her. Her happiness does not take away from your happiness.
True. Good point.
Were you happy yesterday?
I loved it. I had a great nap.
That's all that matters. Christina, were you
happy
yesterday?
As long as you were happy. I was very happy yesterday.
What dumb thing did you guys do?
But to Travis's disappointment.
What did he cook for you?
Oh boy.
I did absolutely nothing yesterday. We ordered food out instead of cooking. Because we cook together all the time. It's like what we do at the end of the day. Travis!
Christina, Travis. Please tell me more about your day. So you ordered food.
Yes, we ordered food. We did order pizza, so I had pizza too. And I honestly just laid in bed and watched movies all day. I didn't do anything else.
What movie
which
did
I'm fine
you watch?
Honestly, nothing worth mentioning.
Nothing worth mentioning. I only asked.
Yeah, nothing worth mentioning.
I think it was Saturday. Dan and I wanted to watch a movie. We wanted to watch Judas and the Black Messiah. And that's like a theatrical release that is now, you can watch it on HBO Max because theaters aren't, you know, crushing it at the moment. And I was like, all right, I've heard people complain about watching a big movie at their house and how it's not the same. And I don't know anything about sound systems, and I don't know anything about, you know, modifying your house, renovating your house. So I don't have the fancy TV setup that you might think that I would have. It's just a TV. So I was like, all right, I don't have surround sound or anything, but I made us close the blackout shades. So it was pitch black in there. We like put Myrtle down. So she, not put her down. That's I don't know what you say. Because with a baby, you're like, we put the baby down. Like, we just had Myrtle took a nap. We got her all of her energy out so she could take a nap. And so we could just focus, no phones, watch the movie. And that movie was so good. It was such a good movie. And I learned that one of the weird things about watching a movie like that at your house is, like, when you watch a movie like that in a theater, different experience in terms of sound and sight and all that. But also, you have to leave as soon as it's over. You get up, you're reminded of, like, oh, my popcorn, I gotta remember to take that with me. Or like, ooh, I have to pee, I've been holding it. And then you just, like, you kind of leave the movie. Whereas when you watch it at your house, if it's about something heavy, you kind of, it stops and you're like, all right, well, we don't have to do anything now, so we can just talk about the movie. And I don't know if that's why I liked it so much, because I could pay attention to it and let it affect me. But it was something interesting that I noticed. It's like, whoa, that movie just kind of stays in the room. And unless you leave the room, you kind of have to either, unless you're just like, let's watch cartoons now. There's like not really you don't have to hard pivot, is what I'm trying to say.
I prefer watching movies at home over the movie theater.
Why is that?
Because then, like you said, if you want a drink, you can pause the movie and get up. You need to go to the restroom, like, you're not holding to the movie and, like, being stuck there.
That's true. We made popcorn too, so that
was I was gonna ask you, what snacks did you have?
We made popcorn, but then something delayed us starting the movie. I don't remember what it was. I think it was Dan got a work email, and so I ate all of it before the movie even started, which, to be fair, is exactly what I do at the movie theater. By the time the previews are done, so is the popcorn. So I guess it was more realistic than I even intended it to be.
I prefer watching movies at home, too. My boyfriend prefers to go to the movie theater, which obviously we haven't done that in a year. I think the last time we were at the movie theater was like last January. So we haven't done that in so long. But I prefer being at home anyway. Maybe it's because I'm a very introverted outrovert where I like to be social and see people, but I also like to lay under my covers and not talk to anybody. So the comfort of being at home, making whatever snacks I want, and then to Travis's point, the freedom to get up and go to the bathroom if you need to, and then afterwards you can actually like sit and like talk about it, and you're not like just, rushed like, to leave. And
yeah, like yeah, I like you can just kind of
sit
was,
there
like,
and
thinking.
Take it in.
Yeah, which is cool.
And it's you also get a blanket.
Sure, you can. Well,
oh yeah, and you can be super comfy.
Some movie theaters give you that. Travis, I thought for sure your first complaint about going to movies would be that they charge like $12 for a box of chocolate.
Well, if we want to go there, it is ridiculous, the prices. But
it is wildly expensive.
Like, it's like I'd like to get a medium pop, and it's like the same price as the like, yeah, that's what it's called.
Sure. I forget that's what you call it, where even though from. That's incorrect.
Aaron would agree with me.
Sure, sure. But so Travis, just a reminder: she's not your friend; she's just somebody who called into the podcast. So
it's not. I mean, we will become friends.
Yeah, that's okay.
But it's fair. Ridiculous. The prices. Like, I already had to pay like $10, $12 for the ticket. Now, like. So a lot of times, yep, I'm not ashamed to say it, still sneaking in stuff.
Oh, I sneak
Travis,
in stuff.
Travis, nobody expected you to be ashamed to say it.
Yeah.
You of all people.
Newsflash, so do we. We yeah. all do.
Why do you think girls wear boots that go up to our knees that have a little extra space in them? Because you can easily drop a flask or a flask-shaped bottle right down into that space, allegedly.
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 Hypothetically Man. Speaking.
I've gotten very drunk at a movie before. Very, very drunk.
I think the last time I went there, I brought like a couple of the vodka nips, and I got a lemonade, and then
nice filled vodka it lemonade. Up. Live yep. it up.
It was delicious.
Hell yeah!
Yeah, I prefer bringing like the mini wine, like the little like tiny bottles, and I'll just stick those right in my purse.
Those are nice. Those are good. I could see Travis like making a sandwich and putting popcorn into a Ziploc bag.
And yeah, I can like, 1000% see
like a pocket
not even,
dog.
Sandwich.
Yeah, but not even a pocket dog. Not even trying to sneak it in, just being like, this is my right. Yeah. I'm entitled to make my own sandwich. You don't offer sandwiches here. That's Travis's voice of standing up for himself in a movie theater.
Like, at least if you're going to sell stuff, get a liquor license.
What? Travis, what?
Some movie theaters do
sell. Yeah, I know. There are some. Like, all right, I'll.
Yeah, and then they charge you double for the ticket.
Yeah, but it's like, and it's like $30 for one glass of wine.
But respect.
Yeah, sure. Respect.
Okay.
Or
Like,
whatever.
at least you're offering to provide that service, and then you're not forcing me to bring it in.
I will say the forcing you is Travis. You have this way of like, you made me do this.
Yeah, it wasn't my
Going to
choice.
one of those fancy ones that they have like a waiter that comes in and gives you food and will offer you alcohol, those are the best movie theaters to go see a movie alone in.
Oh, absolutely.
Mostly because most people don't go see movies alone, and those theaters are usually sold. It's like they're two chairs. Chairs are always paired up. And so you could take one chair, and most of the time, no one else is going to take the other chair. So you get like a space. Again, another advantage of being single, Travis, is things that are made for couples, you actually just get more space.
Yeah, you put your coat there. That's the worst. You go in the wintertime, you get your coat. You have to figure out what to
Yeah.
do with it.
But since you're single, you can just toss your coat in that chair. You can even make it look like a girlfriend if you want to, if you just want to put it in like a shape of a. But don't do that. That'd be
That's a
weird.
little
A little
aggressive.
much? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, other than Valentine's Day and watching a movie, what else are we into? What else are we doing? What else made you happy this week? Wow, that's good.
Think that's about it.
You know, guys don't have
I mean, we're
233 items.
we're still in a pandemic. Oh, my
That's true.
grandparents got vaccinated, which is
That's
fantastic. I'm
awesome.
very happy for them.
That's really great.
Yeah, that's about it.
Travis, you got a date coming up. That's
Yeah.
enough. That's a good week.
I mean,
When's
what?
the date again?
Saturday.
Okay. I'm excited. You excited?
So, maybe we'll have a review on next podcast. We'll see
We
how it
won't.
goes.
We
Or
won't.
if
Let's
she's
not
like,
put that much pressure on a first date.
but if she's like, after the first date, she's like, I'm not feeling it, then you're not getting a review.
So this is
Awesome.
the first date you've been on with this girl.
Yeah.
Okay. And
Okay.
how long have you guys been talking?
It's just started yesterday.
Damn.
Oh, okay.
Efficient.
No point in being pen pals.
Well, I mean, during a pandemic, I would say lots of points in being pen pals.
Yeah, I'm past that
No
point.
point risking lives to have a date with a person that you might be like, no, we have nothing in common and I don't like you.
Yeah, you're like, I wasted my time out of
I
my
wasted a
house
day
for
out of the
this.
house. But the flip side of it is like, I'm desperate to get out of my house. I'll
Well,
go out
we
with
do have a
anybody,
lot of
even a
things in common,
stranger.
though.
Okay. She from Ohio?
No.
Oh no. Does she know that
Wow.
she's already behind and she's got to make up for it?
She's from Connecticut.
Oh my goodness.
Thinks I have an accent because we did talk on the phone.
Huh. Talked on the phone. Is that
Wow.
tough?
Not for me.
With a stranger? I don't, I mean, I fear the phone, so I
Oh,
don't know if
so
I
do
could
I.
do it. I
I
talk too
used
much.
to like talking on the phone to like my family, and if I was dating a guy for longer than a couple of months to where I thought it was actually going to go somewhere, sure, I'll talk on the phone. But then once I was made aware of how painful apparently it is for all of my friends and family to hear my long-winded stories,
Oh, you
I
know what?
stopped talking on the phone so long because I apparently drag out phone
Don't you
conversations.
dare let them take that from you, Christina. You tell great stories and I love them.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're
But
welcome.
now
Good
I
lie.
think especially since I haven't seen so many people, I fear having to talk on the phone to anybody else. I'll talk on the phone to my family, but I don't
Wait,
like
so do you get bothered then when I call you and ask you like a question or something?
Travis, you never call me.
I will be honest sometimes. So Travis will
She didn't
call
answer
me.
today, but text immediately
Travis,
back.
yeah, Travis's
I
could have
didn't
been an
pick up
email if
this
it were a
morning.
person. Yeah.
I didn't pick up this morning. Sometimes I will purposely look at my phone and be like, I'm gonna let that go. Give it a couple minutes, and then I'll text you. Which truthfully this morning,
Let's see
I
if there was
did
even a
do that. I
minute in
did do that.
between
I looked
text
at
and
my
call.
phone. I was laying on my bed because I was debating whether or not to go to the gym. Looked at my phone and saw you were calling. So then I said, I really don't.
What's
I'm
up?
gonna I'm gonna
Sorry, I
let that
didn't grab my
sit.
phone fast enough at
I love it.
9:30 at 9:35. Let's see when
Christina,
I
I
called
love it. I
her.
love this. This is really, really
Okay.
important honesty between the two of you.
Two minutes. So, all right, I'll give her a
Now,
little
Travis,
bit of
what's important for you to take away here is not that Christina is a jerk who lied to you about why she didn't answer her phone. It's that Christina doesn't like talking on the phone, so text her from now on.
See, I didn't
You
know
know,
that, but
I
now I will
saw
learn
that
from
and
that.
instantly was like, I don't want to talk on the phone right now. And to be fair, what you were calling me about much easier explained over text, though, because I had to send pictures of a process of how to use your Mac laptop, which is so hard to explain over the phone.
Fair. Totally fair. I think I think we can all agree that both sides were at fault, and we've found a resolution in the middle that we're happy with. Travis?
I apologize for not picking up, but you should have just texted me in the first place.
Also, if you called me at 9:34 in the morning, I would never answer because I don't want you to be the first person I talk to.
Wait, you just got mad that I didn't call you.
You also were the first person I would have talked to this morning.
Yeah,
my boyfriend was still sleeping because he has like a normal person job and, you know, he has today off from work.
Oh, that's right. That is a fun thing.
Because, you know, other people get today off. We don't.
That's the other negative of our podcast airing on Tuesdays. Like, we could have gotten away with it if it airs on Monday, not recording it this week. But I don't think we could get away with it, which is ironic because not working on Monday is supposed to be the thing. But if we didn't have a podcast, people would be like, what in the world is going on? So here we are. What I'm saying is we make a lot of sacrifices for you folks. And you
I'm going to start calling you now, Katie, instead of Christina.
Not at 9:30 or not, Travis. I'll tell you that right
now. What about 9:33?
Nope. So if we're going by when somebody else in my life that lives in this apartment, so Dan would have to be awake before you can call me because I don't want you to be the first person I talk to in the day. You can call me at the earliest 11:30.
Okay.
That's exactly what I was going to say because that's exactly when my boyfriend woke up. I got back from the gym today and he said, oh, you're already up. I've been up for hours now.
What time does your boyfriend go to bed?
Well, he was up all night playing video games because he didn't have work today.
Thank you. Also, Dan works at night. We are night people. And so in my ideal world, I go to bed once everything stops happening. And whether that's me playing video games or like a news story or conversation around something, once I'm like, I got nothing left to do, I go to bed, which is like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Man.
And then I would wake
up.
I'm
waking up to get a sip of water.
Yeah. Whatever. People's schedules are different.
We're all different. Our sleeping patterns are all different.
No, don't just call. Now, see, you're getting the wrong takeaway there, Trav. don't just call me because you can. Call me.
This is not an open invite to call.
No, what I'm going to do is I'm going to call you with the question, and then I'm going to send the email like right after saying, oh, I could have sent the email.
Speaking of calling people, this is official pod business now. A segment on this podcast you may have forgotten existed because we haven't had any in quite some time. Official pod business. The reaction to last week's podcast when I called PJ Vogt from Reply All, another podcast that you should listen to, was great. A lot of people were like, oh my God, I love him. And I didn't know who he was. And a lot of people were like, oh my God, Reply All is my other favorite podcast. This crossover is awesome. And most people were like, can you make that a weekly thing? And I responded to somebody on Twitter and I was like, yeah, I'd love to. PJ hosts a podcast professionally, so he's expensive and I can't afford him. And then I realized, let's find out if I can afford him. So I texted PJ and I said, this is an offer. I will Venmo you an agreed upon amount every time I do it, if you'll allow me to randomly call you when we record a podcast and we need your input. I phrased it better than that, but that's it now. I was like, if you give me the ability to call you whenever we need a complete non-sports person, I will pay you whatever amount you feel is acceptable. Your two options here are no or give me the amount. And PJ was like, that sounds good. I don't know how much that's worth, but I would like to do it. So he just completely disregarded the rules. Point is, we have PJ in our back pocket.
So can I call him?
No, Travis, I need you to listen. I'm explaining the rules. We have the ability to call I would call him a non-sports expert. He is expertly unaware of sports. We have that, but know that it's going to cost us. And by us, I mean me, but I'm saying us so Travis won't treat it flippantly and he'll act as if it's his own money. Maybe it's we each chip in. He didn't give us a number. So if you're comfortable chipping in, but this is the thing, we will use it more wisely. So you will be, audience, you will be hearing from PJ again. It's just a matter of deciding if it's worth it or not.
I like it. It's like having that person you bring in at quarterback every like four times a game.
But knowing that you can't do it all the time. Because...
So he's like Taysom Hill for us.
Yeah, but yeah. Except he wouldn't know what that means.
Perfect.
So, yeah, I think the analogy fits. So, all right, now everybody is aware. You've now been let into the production process of this podcast. you will hear from PJ again, but only when we deem it worth, I don't know. The number I tossed out to him was $100, thinking he would say that's too low. But instead he said, I don't know. And then I was like, well, then let the market decide.
I'll come on this podcast for $100.
Travis, you do get paid to come onto this podcast. So I don't know how many times I have to make that clear to you. Speaking of which, today on the podcast, we are going to run through some sports news. But if I were honest, the doc that we have here, the pod doc, where we all drop the stories that we really cared about this week in sports, a little scarce. And now I'm not saying that the producer of the podcast, the person who earlier was thrilled to take credit for producing this podcast, should be responsible for making sure that the doc isn't scarce. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is...
Jeez, Christina.
What I'm saying is... sure. What I'm saying is the doc is scarce, and I will take my own responsibility in that. I did HQ today. I don't normally do HQ on a Monday. Normally, my Monday is spent, like, making sure we have stuff to talk about in the podcast, but today that was spent making sure I had stuff to talk about in HQ.
Just send me the rundown that they send you. I could have put that
in. We talk about three stories, Travis. It's, like, three stories, and so, yeah, you basically did put it in. Point is,
so basically you did do that.
You did do that. You produced a great episode of HQ for an hour-long podcast.
You're welcome, ESPN.
The point of this is people overlook how difficult the week after the Super Bowl is, because for a podcast that depends on the NFL, all those games, all of that attention, it's a very widely covered sport. It's not that it's like the best sport. Whether or not everybody here thinks that is to be debated. I'm saying it's the easiest to find what the big stories are that we can talk about without having to dig too hard. So the lesson for the three of us to learn is, like, it's time to get better at digging. Make sure we have more to talk about next week. This week, it just so happened that we also got a lot of voicemails that I was like, ooh, I could use this voicemail. Ooh, this is a good voicemail. So I've just got a bunch of voicemails that Travis and Christina have not heard and know nothing about queued up in my phone. And if the conversation gets boring, I'm just going to play one of those and we'll answer it. So it's not an all voicemail podcast, but it's a more voicemails than usual podcast. Does that sound good? Doesn't matter, but I hope yes.
As a producer, I think that's a good idea.
You do or don't?
I think it's a great idea.
Because if you said don't, I was going to be like, well, then go ahead. What do you want to do?
I think you've got a, this could be something in your future.
I know. It's tough to do these ad reads because sometimes I realize I'm in the wrong business. I want more money shilling out loud.
HGTV with Katie Nolan.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've always aspired to.
Why did I say HGTV? That's not what I was thinking.
I know what you meant. HSN, Home Shopping Network.
There it is.
Yes.
Which I can't believe the internet didn't kill entirely. Not that I think it should. Not that I don't think that's a valuable profession. It's just like, logistically, the ability to buy things from your home, you don't need a network for that anymore. You have the internet. So it's kind of cool that it's still a thing. Tom Brady had some fun at the Bucks parade, which, believe it or not, has happened since we last filmed and recorded an episode, which is weird because this feels like week-old news, but he got hammered.
It's the most likable I've ever seen Tom Brady, and also the most, like, anybody could ever relate themselves to Tom Brady.
Well, let's not speak too generalized. You're probably right.
For me, it is.
But I would bet somebody who doesn't drink... could not. I bet somebody who doesn't drink and doesn't eat vegetables or has never had a cup of coffee could relate to Tom Brady pretty easily before. I couldn't.
I've never had a cup of coffee either.
Never in your life?
Never had a cup of coffee?
I've maybe had three sips in my entire life.
What the hell is happening? Do you just, like...
Interesting fact.
Do you just skip the dessert portion of every holiday when the coffee and the cheesecake comes out because you've never had...
Well, I don't eat cheesecake.
That's my point, Travis. You've never had coffee?
It was never around it, like, growing up, so it just wasn't a thing.
Why is that?
Like, my parents didn't drink coffee, so it wasn't, like, in the house.
What do you drink when you feel tired? Monster energy drink?
No, I used to when I was, like, working overnights and I stopped with energy drinks. I just don't get tired, I guess.
Oh, that's...
You just
that's
don't
relatable.
Get tired.
That's the least
Travis
relatable you've ever been.
Travis just doesn't get tired.
I guess I'm just built different. I'm
well,
Travis.
It's not like I don't, like... At night, yeah, I'll get tired, but, like, there's not, like, if I truly
well, at night,
am...
Travis, you don't drink.
It's like, oh, you losers get tired during the day? I only get tired at night when
I'm
want to sleep.
To.
When I want to go to sleep, that's when I get tired.
I don't know the last time I had a pop outside of
a pop
outside of in a mixed drink.
Which is either saying you're drinking too many mixed drinks or you're not drinking enough pop. No, it's both these things I'm advocating for, soda and coffee, are not good things. Pop. It's okay that you don't drink them. It's soda on this podcast because the podcast has my name on it.
But I pretty much
drink just water at home.
That's great.
For non-alcoholic drinks.
That's great.
I'm sure Tom Brady only drinks water too. That's relatable.
Yeah. See? There
Me
you go.
Tom Brady.
Well, up until now.
Up until now. Yeah, so he got he got after it and was looking sloppy, which,
you
again,
know what?
Relatable.
I am happy for him. I'm happy that he let himself loose because now I do feel like this is the moment when I can relate to him. You know, I obviously could not relate to the no strawberries, no tomatoes, you know, the strict diet he puts himself on. But
I don't like tomatoes.
I could relate to Tom Brady looking like he left brunch after a few too many mimosas. Now I can relate to Tom Brady.
Yeah, dude, you're going to need to eat a whole bunch of bad food to cure that, too, or to keep it from happening, which explains why if all you're eating is kale and water, one tequila is going to knock you on your ass.
I'm so intrigued to understand what his hangover meal was because I want to know how he cured it.
Tom Brady, I bet you wasn't hungover, and you want to know why?
He called Alex Guerrero.
No, well, I bet he was when he woke up, but then he had doctors come over and had a couple
That's
IV packs.
He
and
got
was
IV
good to go.
Shots for sure.
Yeah.
He had somebody be like, look, take these charcoal tablets before you start drinking, and then afterwards you'll do this detox, whatever. He was fine. No pity for me there.
His daughter was the highlight of the parade, though.
I didn't see that. It was
I
will admit I should have watched it, but I wasn't not ready yet to watch him on a parade celebrating with Gronk. It would trigger me.
So when he was getting ready to throw the trophy, you can hear his daughter screaming, "Daddy, no!" Like she's the only one on the boat that realizes like what he's gonna do. He throws and he looks back at the camera. And I think it was that at that point he realized what he just did.
Yeah, like, you can kind of see him. I saw that. I did see that. I just didn't
like
see his daughter in the clip.
Yeah.
So what he did, for those who don't know, he has the Lombardi Trophy. I don't remember who is in the boat behind him.
Cameron Brate and Gronk were the two that were there. Mike Evans.
So it was the tight end ship. It was the Gronk cruise. And he wanted to throw the trophy to them. And he did. Here's what I don't get. And we'll get in a second to somebody who's, I'm sorry, but hilariously upset about it. What I don't get is people being like, whoa, 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 he shouldn't have done that. If Tom Brady can't throw a football-shaped statue or anything, honestly, to Cameron Brate and Rob Gronkowski, then what are we doing here? That's his job, throwing accurately to those two people. So
that's a fact.
I had total faith that he would be able to do it. And honestly, if he didn't do it, maybe take the trophy back. Maybe they didn't earn it. Maybe
See,
give it to
Peter. It wasn't that I didn't trust Tom to throw it. I could understand that a couple drunks on the other boat would have tried to go for it and drop it. But Tom Brady's won more than any franchise has. So I think he's allowed to throw it.
You think that earns him the right? So if you've had a bunch of babies, you can just start throwing them? Phillip Rivers can throw one baby from one boat to another, is that what you're saying? It sounds like exactly the argument you're making is that if Phillip Rivers takes one of his kids and throws it to another boat, it's okay because he has more than any other franchise.
Well,
it was an argument you made.
When we involve babies, now it sounds
Tell
wrong.
Tell me the issue with that statement.
Because I don't know if he has the most kids.
Of any other NFL quarterback? I would say he does.
Well, of NFL quarterback.
But that's what we're saying. People who can be trusted to throw things. Brady has more Lombardi trophies, so your argument, is not my argument, this is Travis's argument, that because Tom Brady has more Lombardi trophies than any other, even franchise, he gets to do it.
Well, then you know what? I will trust Philip Rivers
sure,
to throw
chuck
his
a kid.
I will say that's not the argument.
Chuck a kid, Philip.
football shaped. I'm saying your point being that that's why he should be allowed to do it is, to me, incorrect. It's logically flawed because I don't want Philip Rivers throwing a kid from one boat to another, as fun as it would be to see if it worked out okay. There's too many other. But treating the thing that's being thrown between two boats as if it's a baby is exactly what the woman who got very offended by this did. This woman, whose name, I'm sorry, is not in this document, which therefore makes it not my fault. It's technically Travis's. She is the daughter of the man who made the very first Lombardi trophy. And she did an interview with, it's a local channel. I want to say Fox 4, but that could be wrong. And she basically said that Tom Brady owes silversmiths an apology for treating...
Lorraine Groves.
Lorraine Groves is the daughter of the guy who made the first
trophy. We're going to call her Karen Lombardi for this topic.
We are not going to call her that because we're better than that.
Well, but you might be.
She was like, you shouldn't throw the... How dare you? She got... Suffice it to say, she somehow found the energy in the year 2021 to get incredibly worked up about how a trophy was treated.
She acted like her kid got thrown.
Couldn't be me. Could not be me. This year, I have cared about a lot of things and been upset about a lot of things. Also, this worked out. The trophy was thrown, and it was caught, and nothing happened. So it didn't... The only thing making people look down on silversmiths is this interview in which you act like this thing should be treated like it's a person.
Yeah, there's so many laughable things about this. First and foremost, as somebody who has cried way too many times over the pandemic, this is not something to be crying about. This just isn't it. It's just not it. And I mean, you know, I'll admit I've cried over some pretty silly things over the last year and couple months. But, you know, this is just...
Not publicly. You didn't do an interview, about how upset you were about
this. Not publicly. Nope. I cried in the shower where the water can wipe away my tears.
That's right.
So, did not do it on live television. Can promise you that. This is just not the thing to get upset about.
Not to mention, where was she a couple years ago when Gronk put a dent in the trophy?
Yeah. Yeah, do we remember when he played baseball with it?
Yeah, thank God her dad didn't make the first Stanley Cup, because she would have a lot more things to be upset about happening to that trophy. Just by definition, anybody who's making trophies in the future, which I guess technically would be this woman who has already stopped listening to this podcast.
But you think she didn't make the damn trophy.
If you're going to invent a trophy in the future, I would recommend making it, if you're going to have this attitude towards how seriously it should be treated, make sure it does not have any convex parts, any bowls, any place where things can be put. Because people are going to eat cereal out of it. People are going to chug out of it. Like, if you want your trophy to be treated with the utmost respect at the drunkest time in most very rich athletes' lives, I would say make sure there's just no place where they can put liquid or food inside of it. That's just a piece of advice for free. Worth its weight in silver, though.
In high school, the conference championship trophies were like these shadow-looking boxes. It was like wood with like a little like figurine and then like a plaque on the inside. And so my senior year, we carved our names into the back of the trophy.
You desecrated the trophy? You owe woodworkers everywhere an apology. Or actually, you actually do owe whoever made that one an apology, because they probably had to make another one.
No, but they make another one the next year, so it's like, all right. Like, that's the thing, is Brady's not... They're not returning this trophy.
That's true. I also feel like, is it possible that they have multiple? That you don't take the actual Lombardi trophy?
Yeah, I read, and I could be 1,000% wrong, so don't come for me if I am, but I... did hear
just
that
say allegedly.
This is like the copy of the Lombardi. The real one is in Canton, Ohio. Yeah. This one is not. This one's a remake. It's a copy anyway.
All I'm saying is, when I won my Emmy, they hand you an Emmy on stage, and I walked off stage clutching it, and they were like, "Do you want to? Can we have that one back?" And I was like, "No, what? If you take it from me, you'll forget that I'm supposed to have it." I guess the move is you give it back and then they ship you one that's engraved, because the one you're holding isn't engraved. And I was like, but I don't want to give it back. This is the one I won. and they let me keep it, and I had to get it engraved myself. I had to get a nameplate sent.
I have an idea.
Because I didn't want to let go of it.
I have an idea, Katie. Let me know what you think of this.
I bet I hate it.
Let's rent a couple boats and chuck your Emmy.
No, Travis, on a number of levels, no.
For more than one reason,
I don't even know how to rent a boat. Renting two boats, who's going to drive them? Where is their water? Why is my Emmy there? Who am I throwing it to?
To me.
Is it just you two?
You're throwing it to me.
This is just a planned heist for you to drive away with a boat I paid for with my Emmy to never to be seen again.
No, because I can't drive the boat because I have to be catching the Emmy. So we'll have people driving the boat.
You will pay whoever drove the boat to drive away so that you can keep the Emmy.
No, it'll be like a remote podcast deal.
Ghost me completely. I don't think this is a good idea.
And where do you expect we do this? In Long Island Sound? I mean, where are we going to do this?
There's plenty of bodies of water around.
There's plenty of bodies of water around, Travis A. Rockhold. That's the quote that you just said. There's plenty of bodies of water around.
Yeah.
Well, I like this outlook on life where you're like, you know what? We'll figure out the very important details at a later
We've got
day.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, we'll figure out the most important detail last minute.
Well, we're not going to do it tomorrow. We've got plenty of time. It's cold out. We're going to do this in the summertime. Here's
why
road trip. Why? We'll go to South Beach. Do a remote podcast.
Okay, Travis, this is getting very expensive. I am willing
to We're not paying for it.
So who is?
Who is? Who's footing this?
We're going to get sponsors. Quip is.
Okay. Oh my God. That's allegedly. Quip is not paying for this. If they're still listening, we understand that. I am willing to entertain your wild idea that makes no sense to me if you can just tell me why.
Because we could do a remote podcast to grow the brand.
What is happening?
After the pandemic, so we could have, it could be live. So all the fans that have stuck around and listened during the pandemic can come out and see
you. Stuck around? We are making pretty good content.
That's what I'm saying. Like during the pandemic, they haven't left you. We've done the live Zoom podcast, so we can do one live in person. And afterwards, guess what? We're getting on some boats.
The main event is watch us get on boats and throw an Emmy that I didn't win at this podcast. Because
that has
podcast Emmys.
That has nothing to do with this podcast
in
particular.
Not even to do with the network that we work at.
Okay, so how about this? Win an Emmy at ESPN.
Okay.
Then we can do it.
Okay, let me write this down.
Hey, Katie, tomorrow on your list of things to do, wake up.
Yeah, put that on your bucket list.
Then go get yourself an Emmy.
And then win an Emmy. All right.
Yep.
Me maybe, and what television show, Trav?
Well, maybe this podcast could win an Emmy. I don't know.
That's not... No, I just said... You couldn't. No.
Well,
because we don't have a there's no video element.
Well, guess
it.
What I'm posting today? I'm going to post this. I'm going to post the video of this.
Well, no, you aren't because I can't see the video of myself. And so I don't know if I have a
Yeah, I don't sign my
yet.
Rights over
no,
to
No, you're
that.
Still good
yeah.
right now.
Thank you so much. The Texans released J.J. Watt. I don't know. At this point, this was on Friday and it feels already like it was a week ago. Do we have anything important to say about this? Who's released, it being the Texans, they announced it on a Friday. That's the thing they love to do, so that we'll do exactly what I'm doing now, which is not have anything to say because they feel like I've talked about it
all
weekend.
I don't have much to say other than that they're just a complete dumpster fire. When you have J.J. Watt, who is – it's hard to find a bad thing to say about him once out, and then you have Deshaun Watson who once out, can't find a bad thing to say about him, and you're not – like, it's they're just a mess when you have those two players wanting out.
J.J. could want out because he wants to win. Less because he's like offended by decisions. That seems like a very J.J. Watt move to be like, look, let's break up but stay friends. Whereas I feel like Deshaun's stance is like, we're not friends because you went back on your word to me and now I would like to break up. Whereas J.J.'s like, we don't have to fight. We can
stay very cool. Very solid analogy.
Yeah, we can totally stay cool. And Deshaun's like, we would be staying cool if you met me where I was at in this relationship. You didn't. You're taking advantage of me. Please let me break up with you. It's a weird thing to have to beg someone to let you break up with them. But I feel it. I feel for him.
I think you just crushed that.
Oh, thanks, Travis. You've
that
was,
yeah, that analogy.
I don't have anything I could say won't top that. So,
speaking of quarterbacks versus their team, Dak and the Cowboys are having an interesting quibble.
Standoff?
Quibble on social media. I don't want to get these in the wrong order, but I think the first major blow that was struck was that the Cowboys put up a hype video for next season, something like a 30-second video, and there was no Dak in it. It didn't feature Dak at all. which people noticed since he's the quarterback. Then they also noticed that he followed and has since unfollowed the Washington football team official account. And then recently, again, I forget who it is, but a teammate posted something about Dak basically saying, like, let's run it back or something like that. And then Dak reposted that to his story and said, like, basically, I'm paraphrasing, that's the only outcome he's ever imagined. Meaning, Dak is making it very clear he wants to stay in Dallas. And if there's any situation in which he's not staying in Dallas, that isn't because he didn't want to make the deal work. Because I think one of the things we've talked about a bunch on this podcast, a recurring theme, is that ownership and front offices tend to control the narrative in a very strange way when it comes to players being upset with where they are and wanting to be somewhere else, or players wanting a deal and teams not giving it to them. Because fans are a lot more likely to want the player to stay at their team, so they're very open to the idea of, not propaganda, but one-sided information, or playing to something like, this millionaire athlete wants more money from us, they're bad. When really it's like, that's the guy who's gonna help you earn wins, so he deserves the money. You're being cheap.
Do you think that how fans react to players has started to change, where more fans are more often than not defending the player, or not more often than not, but more often defending the players than they used to when they would decide with the owner and the team?
Yeah, a little bit. Not a lot of bit, but a little bit. I have seen, especially like we were just talking about with the Deshaun Watson thing, I saw a lot more people willing to see that in this situation, he can be the one who was wronged, even though he has a bunch of money. Because what we always forget when you're talking about owner versus player, like, owners also have a lot of money. Money that we don't scrutinize. Money that we don't, like, make sure
they have the most money.
Yes, they have the money that pays the money of the other people. So it's like, yes, Dak Prescott or Deshaun Watson have more money than the average person. But that doesn't mean you can relate to the owners. That's just silly. But I get why we all thought that, because that's kind of what sports media, it's a lot easier to just say he's being greedy instead of saying, like, well, now hold on, are the owners being greedy? That's just a much more difficult conversation to have that gets you a lot more phone calls at 9:33 in the morning.
I don't do that. Wait till 11:33. I do love, though, when athletes follow and unfollow accounts. And then I also love that the fans and reporters that, like, report on that, like, oh, Dak followed this person on Twitter. Like, are you just, like, checking his account periodically? Like,
yeah,
what players do with social media, and, like, they're like, when they take down all their team affiliated photos or stuff, it cracks me up.
Well, it's technically a news story, I guess, but I will say these fat fingers have accidentally liked and followed people a lot. So
not only have I accidentally liked, accidentally unfollowed, accidentally followed people, I also tweet and delete constantly because I constantly second guess what I say. So if I were Dak, which I very clearly am not, why are we putting so much weight into who he's following and unfollowing? I mean, I second guess myself constantly. Maybe he followed and then said, eh, maybe not.
It's
unfollow.
Also possible that we're not giving Dak enough credit, and he knows that this is the kind of stuff people report on now, and he knows that he doesn't have a lot of avenues in which he can openly discuss his displeasure with the fact that we've been being told that a long-term deal is going to be signed for like a year with Dak. A year ago, or like after game one, the Cowboys were like, we're right there. We're going to sign this deal. It's going to get signed soon. And it still hasn't been signed. So if he's frustrated, I don't know if he is, but if he is, I'd say he has every right to be. And I would say, if you know that people are watching who you follow and unfollow on social media, and you want to do something completely innocuous that you know might whip up a story, following and unfollowing your division rival might be the move. You can very easily say, oh, I didn't mean to, and get out of it, but people still talked about it on TV because that's what we do.
If it can happen to the Pope, it can happen to anybody.
I am always fascinated with how we treat people who we deem as celebrities or people of a certain social status, people who have way more money than the average person, because so often, and which historically we've done this, socially we've done this for so long, we forget that they are actual human beings with actual feelings. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, too often we'll say, oh, well, he just has so much money. What does he have to complain about? Mm-hmm. Or why can't they figure out their differences? They've got so much money. It's not, you know, it's not about the money. I think it's just nobody's asked, hey, Dak, how are you doing as a person mentally? How you doing?
Well, maybe because the one time he came out and said that he wasn't doing great mentally, he got yelled at by sports media.
Exactly, which is, it just furthers my point where everybody wants to say he shouldn't have feelings. He shouldn't have, you know, thoughts and emotions and actual reactions like every other human being gets to do. But when it comes to things where we want him to react, it's just a double-edged sword. It's not fair. You can't have him say, hey, I'm not doing so well, and I kind of don't want to be here anymore. I kind of want to change my situation. We're like, oh, no, you can't talk about that because you have so much money. But then when something does happen and he doesn't comment on it, or when somebody of a celebrity status doesn't comment on it, we're like, well, wait a minute. That's your job. You have a lot of money. You should talk about it.
Travis, it's just not fair. Itching to say something.
I'm just go right ahead.
I just want to offer Dak to come on the podcast. We have a mental health update segment. We'll give you the floor.
I took it out because I don't want to make you – I realize we're not that close, Travis. Ashley and I worked up to having a mental health update, and I didn't want to force you to open up
about
mental
health. But we can put it back in.
We can, but I knew it would just become me talking about mine, which isn't as easy as talking to people about yours when everybody brings something. So I want you to know we took it out of – we'll get there. It's going to come back. But just don't pitch that to Dak as the number one reason he should come on when it gets deleted.
I just want to let him know that this is an open space for him. But you are right. Like, even as a younger, my grandma would always say, whenever I ask how you're doing, your answer is you're fine. So you're right. For the mental health update for me, my default is I'm fine.
It's always I'm fine. But which mine was too until I realized that I wasn't. And that's, you know, I was ready. You're not ready. We'll get back there.
Listen, I think our 9:33 phone calls will build the relationship.
Our daily morning catch-ups will certainly turn us into best friends and or enemies. So at least we'll know at that point.
If that'll help you open up with your mental health, I will fight through the anxiety of picking up a phone call at 9:33 in the morning, and I will help you
That's
get there.
That's friendship. It's very telling that you just needed a sip of wine just then, and I want you to know I see you, and I love you, Travis, and we're all going to get through it together. Fan-controlled football is the last thing I have before we do another ad read. Have you guys watched any of it? I've seen some clips, but I'll be honest, I didn't watch the FCF in depth.
I didn't watch it, but I saw a clip where their two-point conversion is weird. I saw Johnny Manziel out there, and then Marshawn Lynch was talking about pooping.
Yes, Marshawn Lynch is doing.
He's doing play by play.
Yeah, I would assume he's not doing play by play. I would assume he's the color guy. He went on a long diatribe about pooping, which I love. Johnny Manziel is playing and looks Johnny Manziel-ish, but he also got benched. But again, it's fan controlled, so I assume that was a fan decision. The point of this, from what I gather, is that the fans get to call the plays. I remember this being an idea back when I was not at ESPN yet. So I don't know if this is that same one and they finally figured out how to do it and they did it, or if this is a different one. But from what I understand, fans call the plays. So I would assume that's who's also making decisions about who to bench and who not to bench.
He said, like, win or lose, we booze. I'm like, oh, thank, good job, Johnny.
Oh, great. I thought we addressed that, Johnny Manziel, and I thought he wasn't that Johnny Manziel anymore. But we'll see. You kind of breezed past what was the most fascinating thing to me, and you said they do two-point conversions weird. What it is a one-on-one with a receiver and a defensive player. I don't know if they specified who it has to be from your defense that plays out there, but it's one-on-one with a quarterback who takes the ball off of a stool and then throws it to the receiver.
There's not even field goal post.
I didn't notice that, but you are correct.
There's zero kicking.
Yep. Which is, I think, didn't the XFL kind of try to do that? Didn't they try to incentivize, like, you could go for 3 points or 4 points?
Yeah, they did.
I miss the XFL.
You know, but the stool.
Yeah, Travis and I were big XFL fans.
Yeah, so was I. Go Vipers, vipe up.
DC Defenders.
Here's the thing. The stool really took me out of it. Like, I understand that there's, you know, it's a new league and it's got kinks to work out. But one of the things you have to understand is, like, just watching a football player pick up a football from a stool before he throws it to a situation that would never occur in a real football game, it was too much to take in. Like, I am envisioning the clip I watched, and I watched it once, but in my mind, there was also a bottle of water on the stool next to the football. Probably not true, but that's what that kind of visual puts in your brain. As soon as you're like, oh, there's a prop involved, it was too weird, and I don't understand why the football, why the quarterback couldn't just start with the football in his hands. Like, if he tries to pick it up off the stool and he drops it, did he fumble the snap? I'm unclear on what words we would even use in that situation. What level of difficulty is picking the ball up off of a stool adding to the situation? It doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I hate it.
Yeah, I did not see any of this at all. But just hearing it now, I could also say that I hate it. And I also
this is me every time Ashley told me what happened on an episode of The Bachelor. I'm like, I did not watch this, but from what you're saying, I hate it.
Yeah, from all the words you just spoke, I could definitively say I hate this. Because I also think I was willing to give the XFL a really big fighting chance. You know, I watched the first few games. I bet on it. I was all in.
Allegedly.
I was all in. However, I feel like everybody got what was out on it so quickly because it felt silly, because it's not real football. Like, it wasn't with all the added rules and the change of rules. I feel like a lot of fans felt like, well, this isn't the NFL, so why am I going to watch it?
See, I think
this is even sillier.
No. As somebody who was super into this current iteration of the XFL, I will say they did a better job with it than most other leagues who have tried to compete with the NFL. There's been a lot.
Pandemic.
There's been
that
a lot
up.
More than you remember. Yes, and they did well, and then the pandemic happened, and it was like, you're not going to be able to bounce back from it, which I bet is really frustrating when the XFL was a league before and it folded for reasons of, like, not being prepared. This was like they weren't prepared for something nobody was prepared for. So that stinks. Fan-controlled football, I don't know if they use this on HQ today, so I'm sorry if I'm, like, plagiarizing myself, but I bet they didn't because I said it in an off-air moment. It feels like fans, it's, you know how fans have always felt like, we know better, we know this. If I were the owner, I would do this. I would bench this person, I would play this person. Why didn't that coordinator call that play there? That was so stupid, I would have called this play. This feels like sports being the parent that finds a kid smoking a cigarette and then is like, all right, smoke the whole pack in front of me. And the kid's like, no, that's not what I, and they're like, smoke that entire pack and let's see how much you want to smoke a cigarette. This is that, because it's like, oh, you guys think you can call the, okay, call the plays. By the way, Johnny Manziel's your quarterback. Go. It feels like if you come at it like, okay, you guys want to have your own league? All right, we're going to have the quarterback start with the football on a stool. Go ahead. Like, have it. Have your fun. Smoke your cigarettes. Don't smoke cigarettes, guys. It's bad for you.
I've never smoked a cigarette in my life.
I mean, I would give you a lot more credit for that if I didn't know that you were also had never had cheesecake or coffee.
Because those three go together.
It makes me like, oh, it's not because he's got restraint. It's because he doesn't live his life.
That doesn't add up.
It might.
It's not.
What if it did?
You're really fascinated with my middle initial, aren't you?
Yeah, I just want to know what it is, but I don't want you to tell me.
No, I won't. You're going to have to guess it to get it for me to.
What have I guessed so far? I think I said Travis Andrew Rockhold, and I guessed Travis Anthony Rockhold.
And it's neither one of those?
Nope.
No. But his first answer was, you got the first letter correct. And I was like, Trav, bud, I know that. I didn't just start at A and next I'm going to move on to B. I know that your middle initial's A.
Travis, if guessed correctly, will you say that yes. It is it? Okay.
Yep.
Is it a last name of somebody in your family and I'm never going to get it, or is it a name?
No, it's not a last name.
Okay, so it's like a name. Austin.
Nope.
All right, well, we'll guess. We'll get one more. We get one guess per podcast. Okay, what else happened? What is this NASCAR story, Trav?
So there was a long rain delay, and Chase Briscoe, his wife, posted a video or a photo on Twitter, got in his car, still in his fire suit, and they went to Panda Express.
Okay.
And I'm all for going to get some food.
Sure.
But if I'm going to have to be in a car for a few hours, I don't know if Panda Express is the one that I'm going to.
Aha.
Okay, now I see.
Because I was like, what's the issue with wearing his fire suit? Honestly, yeah, I was if about I were to say a NASCAR racer, I would wear my fire suit everywhere because, I don't know, you probably want people to be like, oh my God, are you a NASCAR driver? Which, no offense, I don't think a lot of people would notice if you were wearing street clothes. But the more important point, B, it's a onesie. If
love
my
that.
Job required
Absolutely
me to wear a onesie,
that.
I would wear a onesie all the time.
That's the only thing
Express,
I would wear.
To Taco Bell. But I see your point is that maybe going there to then sit in the car for a long time without the ability to evacuate your bowels. can they pee?
I mean,
yeah, what happens?
Do they
if
have
you
a
have
bag?
To use the bathroom?
Do they have like a bag situation?
No, I don't think so.
How long are races?
A couple hours.
Oh, so the first thing when you type "can NASCAR drivers" into Google, it auto completes with "listen to music."
I mean, theoretically, yeah, they can if they want to.
Well, no, they need.
But comps. For the most part, like they're losing so many calories that like they're sweating. Like you're not gonna have to go most likely.
What, pee?
Yeah.
Football players do. They pee into Gatorade bottles on the sidelines.
Yeah. I do know that they can drink. They have a little setup so they can still get some liquids.
It's not alcohol, Travis.
I didn't say it was.
I know. But I saw you smile of like, I wouldn't mind having one of those.
No, you don't drink and drive.
NASCAR drivers spend several hours. Obviously, you don't drink and drive. NASCAR drivers spend several hours in their cars in the scorching heat. It's one of the most stressful environments one can imagine. One of the biggest challenges has nothing to do with life and death. It has to do with their ability to relieve themselves. This is sportscasting.com, which I guess I'll assume is Dan Patrick's website, though I'm sure that's wrong, so don't quote me on it. That's weird. They said, unlike a movie theater where someone can get up and go to the bathroom, I would say that's one of the harder situations in which
yeah,
you get
I would
up
say that's also
unlike
a situation
home,
where you can't do that.
I mean, yeah. You can, though. You literally
can you
just
can,
get up and
it's
walk.
Just, I know, but it's still annoying.
It was just a very odd example.
Yeah, why don't you compare it to, like, unlike baseball where you're not always on the field. Anyway, fact of the matter is somebody spends as much time in it, they'll have to go to the bathroom. Fans have speculated on this since NASCAR first gained popularity because, of course, they have. We just want to know about your poop. It's why we love Marshawn Lynch. And your pee. Fans, they rarely comment on what happens when nature calls, whether there are diapers involved or other things entirely. Most drivers keep this a secret.
Well, now that it's a secret, I have even more interest in finding out what the secret is. What do they do?
Oh, this is gross. Tony Stewart in 2004 pulled off a victory, and the media reported that he had a stomach bug. Having a stomach bug in Arizona in the heat, you can imagine that something was bad.
Oh,
he
no.
never acknowledged what happened, but the visual evidence about it spoke for itself. After taking his victory lap, he stepped gingerly out of his car and onto the winner's circle. Some noticed that he was waddling on his way out of the vehicle. Nobody asked the question on everybody's mind. The speculation behind his interesting race flew rampantly. Huh. So he pooped his pants, is what we're saying. Right. Dale Earnhardt Jr. told Fox Sports that you do go to the bathroom. If you can hold it, you hold it. If you can't hold it, you go.
Makes sense.
Interesting.
All right. Well, very interesting. I guess I'm glad I know it. So now we know that. Thanks, Panda Express. What's this John Wall story?
I was just throwing stuff up that I thought you might take a look at before we
yep.
got to the
so
taping.
So now I'm asking it.
He
what
just,
is it?
Like, apparently, like, he said that he still, like, watches the games. Like, he's clearly the ex that he needs to unfollow the ex on Instagram because he's going and creeping and just looking at photos.
Well, let's play Angel's Advocate for you, Travis. What, why? Why can't he miss them?
He can miss them, but if you're, like, still talking about them and you're watching all their games, like... It's over, John.
What if he wants?
You're not getting back with them. They're like she's
well.
She moved on. Unfollow her on Instagram.
If
she wants,
where do you stand on this?
I think I tend to agree with Travis in a sense that in order for John Wall,
metaphorically, she agrees with you. I think she agrees with you metaphorically, as do I. I don't think you should be watching everything your ex does. But the
exactly,
thing about a metaphor
analogy,
is it isn't the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is they're not his ex. It's his former team, and his friends are still his friends.
Yeah. So if he's still supporting his friends, and he's like, yeah, good job. Saw your game yesterday. Good for him for still keeping up with what his friends are doing. But if he's watching the games crying about the ex, that's like scrolling through your ex's Instagram, wondering why you broke up, wanting to know what they're doing unnecessarily. So if he's doing this in an unhealthy way to where he's, you know, missing his ex, I would say unfollow. But if it's not hurting anybody, keep doing you.
Based on the article, apparently he gave a very in-depth interview to The Athletic's Fred Katz, and it was remarkable how open and honest he was in his, or it says open and raw, in discussing his feelings about the trade and the process that led up to it, which to me is like, man, I would love more of that. I would love more of not the like, they can go F themselves because they got rid of me. I would love more like, boy, did that hurt. That really hurt. And it bums me out because I didn't think it was going to happen. And I really have a strong connection with that city. And I'm still kind of really bummed about it. Like, I love that. But Travis, you were saying that he's a big idiot?
I just think at some point, like, you got to just move on. I didn't call him a big idiot, but
no,
just...
No, you're right. You're like, right. I'm just trying to bait you into an argument.
That's not nice, Katie.
No, I know, but it's content. It sounds like the takeaway is he had a strong bond with DC and with his teammates, and that he was bummed. I think
I kept being bummed, but
yeah,
like,
and you know what?
Move on.
Normalize talking about those feelings. Yeah. You can miss an ex, and you can be upset that it happened. I think there comes a point where you got to get over it and say, okay, you're separated, and instead of saying, yeah, I wish that it wouldn't have happened.
But now the
I
new girlfriend's
it.
Like, hey, I'm over here. Why don't you give me attention? Like the new team's like, you're still talking about her.
That's a good point that they might feel sad.
I understand that. So that's why I would say there comes a point where he needs to get over the breakup. But I don't really see any harm in doing it if it's in a way where he's like just supporting his friends and supporting the team and the city that he misses. Because normalize that. You can miss that. You can miss it.
Travis has stopped paying attention. But I'm going to get his attention back. Apparently, blowing on video games was a myth. Now, I clicked on the link you put in the doc because I know you were going to yell at me for not doing that. And I'm seeing an article from 2014, Travis.
I saw it on Twitter.
Oh, okay. So
the we don't fact check before
the
we
news
do
part
now?
Of this podcast is subjective.
I saw
it's
people
not necessarily
I saw people
news.
Tweet
it's,
about
it's,
it.
It's was it news to whoever Travis follows on Twitter?
It was multiple people were tweeting about it. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, I clicked it.
Mm-hmm. Well. The story from GeekWire from again,
now you
want to
read it. Why didn't you read a previous one?
Because I was doing HQ, Travis. Mm-hmm. But apparently, anybody younger than us has no idea what we're talking about.
Like
back
Christina.
When you used to play Nintendo and stuff, you would have to blow on a video game cartridge when it wouldn't work. Cartridges were things you had to put into video game machines to play a video game. Now kids don't even have to do that. You can buy it online on the store and it downloads directly to the hard drive of your video game machine. Is certainly what they're called. It's called a console. but back in the day, we had to put in these little boxes. And when it didn't work, you'd blow on it. And that would supposedly help. Apparently, we were lied to. It doesn't help.
I don't buy
it's
that.
It's a pure placebo.
It worked every time.
Well, it didn't, actually, but it worked sometimes, and so what was probably just random chance of a cartridge connecting properly, we were like, let me blow on it again from a different angle. Because everyone I knew had a different way. It was like a trumpet. It's like we all had our own different ways that we did it.
I mean, how many ways are there? Left to right or right to left?
Well, you could do like a left, right, right, left, right. You could do like one long, slow... I don't want to get too much into my blow methods on the podcast, Travis, just for personal reasons. But there are different ways that you can do it. A lot of ways to skin a cat, as they say. Let's listen to a voicemail that I found that I thought was very fun. An important question plaguing us all.
Hey, Katie, Trogdor, and Christina. this is Nick from Massachusetts. I think I called probably an hour ago and forgot to leave my name, so you know, I'm just calling back to try and fix that. Anyway... I was looking through an emoji list earlier, and I noticed that the turtle emoji is actually a tortoise. When I brought this up to literally everybody I ran into today, no one seemed to care at all. What is something that you care about that no one else seems to care about? Anyway, love you guys. Mean it. Bye.
Nick, love you, mean it. Thank you for calling back and giving us your name. You didn't call another time. There was no other voicemail. So if you had tried to delete it, it worked. Congrats on your success. Number two, thank you for a great question. My answer to it is produce this podcast. But more important than my answer to this question, I would like to discuss the thing you're obsessed with no one cares about, because I wouldn't know the difference between a turtle and a tortoise if it slapped me in the face. And I watched the two of you, upon hearing this question, immediately grab your phones to Google what the difference Absolutely. Between a turtle. But Nick is so fired up, and Nick is a fan of this podcast, which means we must have something in common with him, which means there must be a good reason why confusing a turtle and a tortoise is offensive. Do either of you know it?
I don't know it, but I can agree with his thought process of caring deeply about something.
What's your thing?
To which I don't know what that is. I'm trying to think about it, but there's got to be something that I care about that everybody else thinks is stupid. So I can agree with the thought process. I don't understand what the difference between a turtle and a tortoise is. So I can't agree with him.
So treetops, what I'm seeing on this Google search, tortoises are turtles that live on land and are not equipped for water. That is a pretty big difference. That is like the difference between the boat Tom Brady was on most recently during a championship parade and the boats he was on before, because the boats he was on before are equipped for both land and sea. Duck boats, baby. It's just facts. This joke is landing for Nick, and you know what? That's all that matters to me. That's all that matters to me.
He'll laugh.
So how would he know from the, it looks like the arm. It looks like it's the length of the arm. Tortoises appear to have really short, stubby arms, whereas turtles, their front arm looks like a wing, and their back arm is like a leg.
I got many questions for Nick.
I'm pissed off too now. Now that I'm looking at pictures of a turtle versus a tortoise, at first my first instinct was it was shell color. Like you could tell the difference with the shell color. But I would imagine it's because of the wing shape.
I can understand his frustration because when you go to your emojis, I typed in turtle. The emoji came up. I also typed in tortoise and the emoji came up.
Yeah.
And it's the exact same one, obviously. So
Apple
is, yeah, exactly. They're just saying it's the same animal and it's not.
And he's right. Or I was right, I guess, is that it's walking on its two legs, which means it's not a turtle. Turtles use their front little flappers to get to the water. So look, let's start the campaign. No, let's ask another question. At what point is it not worth making another emoji? There are so many emojis right now that when I'm looking for the right emoji, I know the type of word thing helps. It doesn't always help because sometimes I'm like, you know, that thing. So it's very hard to find the emoji that I'm looking for, especially if it's faces, because you're like, oh, I can't type with the faces necessarily. I don't know if I'm even using it properly. So it's like if we had both a turtle and a tortoise, are you using it in the context that needs the differentiation enough?
My thing would be all Apple needed to do was make a correct turtle for turtle, and that's it. Don't have the same emoji pop up for tortoise. Turtle
or make
tortoise.
It so that when I click and I hold on a turtle, I can choose for it to also be a tortoise.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're Apple, for crying out loud. It's not like you're like, if we do a tortoise emoji, that's going to be 301 emojis and we can only do 300. Like,
well, I guess my question is, does a tortoise or a turtle deserve its own emoji?
A turtle deserves one before a tortoise. Yes.
Yes, that's true. But does a turtle and a tortoise, do they deserve to both have their own emojis before, let's say, I'm just guessing, an armadillo gets its own emoji? Like, does turtle representation have to be that strong before we've even gotten to the representation of a ton of other animals? Because I'm typing armadillo and ain't nothing coming up.
Yeah, I don't think they deserve to have their own. So what needs to happen is, I think tortoise needs to lose out. And
okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's other animals that I think deserve an emoji.
Is there anything else you get really fired up about that no one else seems to care about?
I'm sure there is.
I mean, I do get bothered when people are walking on the left side of the sidewalk. or like you're in the airport.
I get that.
Okay. Yes.
Way.
That is annoying.
Like, treat the same way. How you walk like it's a road.
Like when people stop on those movable sidewalks on the right side, I'm like, what are you doing?
Or when people are turning a corner and they're cutting it, like, and I'm
or no, wait, they're supposed to stop on the right side. I just have to correct myself so I don't get screamed at. You're supposed to stop on the right side and move on the left side. But when they do the opposite, you're like, go. You're standing next to someone who's also standing. You knew that you're forming a wall. Why are you doing that?
I'm trying to think what else I have.
Travis, I feel like your entire life is a list of these.
Yeah, I would say, Travis, of anybody, it seems like you would have in your notes app already typed out a bunch of things.
You get mad when I say soda on my podcast where I say soda. You tell me that I have to say pop.
So I don't truly get upset with the people that say soda. I do get upset when people call it Coke and then specify what they want.
Oh, that doesn't make any sense.
That is the dumbest thing ever. Like, ever? Can I have a Coke? What would you like? A Sprite? What? Who the hell that does that?
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
A lot of money in Coke's pocket, and I don't like it.
It's a Southern thing, I believe.
Big Coke.
Always. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
It's Big Coke. Christina, did you find one yet, or do you just want me to move on?
No, I'm literally looking around my living room.
It's not going to help. As a person who does that at the beginning of the podcast, you're trying to think of what to call them, it's not going to help.
I don't think I have very many pet peeves. There's not many things that I fixate on that I'm like, ugh. You know what I mean? So yeah. I hate how the
dollar menu is no longer the dollar menu at fast food places.
It's a value menu now.
Yeah, it's...
Inflation, baby.
It used to be you could go and get a junior bacon cheeseburger. Actually, just a junior cheeseburger for a dollar.
And then a McChicken and then smush them into each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like the dollar menu isn't there.
Yeah, that's true. Hold on, this one's not a question, but I can play it while you're thinking. And then maybe Christina, if you don't, stop thinking
well,
about
you?
How you're thinking about
it.
I said produce this podcast.
Hey squad, this is Corey from New York. I don't have a question. I just really wanted you to hear how Alexa reads your podcast. So listen to this. Alexa, resume my podcast.
It is worth. With Katie Nolan from Spotify, resuming your place.
I just thought that was really funny. Have a great day. Love you, mean it.
Incredible. I just played you guys a recording of a recording of a recording. Anyway, she goes sports with Katie Nolan, which is very nice. And actually more than I even get from Bamani Jones, who says sports with a question mark is her podcast, because I'm not going to tell him what inflection to use. How dare I use punctuation? Anything? Should we just go on to this last ad read?
I think we should go on.
Okay.
I don't have anything right now.
It's good producing.
I mean, at some point, I know they're going to hit me. I'll call you guys tomorrow with all the
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, it's going to be at a thing where, I'm going to think of this late tonight because I will be up late tonight while my boyfriend plays video games and I have nothing else to do. So I'll just,
have you
watch
considered
Netflix.
Playing video games?
I have considered. We have one Xbox.
Uh-huh.
So I would need to invest in another one.
Don't you have a Wii?
Yeah, but that doesn't work, right? I don't know anything.
You can play
about
video games by yourself on a different TV.
Huh.
Huh.
I have so many more questions. We'll get back to this.
We can get back to it. I would love to. I have been trying to urge more people to play video games that maybe didn't play them for a while because they're very different now. You can find stuff that you like.
So my PlayStation 3 that I have, it works, but it takes like I'll put a game in. And I'll have to, like, turn it on, turn it off, like, 4 or 5 times before it finally, like...
Well, you can probably get a 4 for cheap now because the 5 is out.
But, see, the thing is, the only game that I, like, care to play is NCAA 14.
Right now? Oh, yeah, Dan plays NCAA on his old Xbox, on his, I think, 360,
I was going to say if he had PlayStation, we could play, we could be bros.
No. No, I also just on a number of other levels. No, I don't think that would be. That's not a relationship I think I'm cool with.
You're scared that we would end up like being friends, aren't you?
You know what? Maybe I am. Maybe that to me is the most terrifying. Is that somehow you two would become very close, and then I would be getting
and then like
out of my
post pandemic, you're gonna ask like, hey, do you want to do something? It's like, sorry, hanging out with Travis.
Okay, I think you're getting a little bit ahead of yourself. You guys don't even live in the same state, but yes, maybe it's a possibility, and yes, maybe my fear of
could
that
be
is
hanging
why
out
I'm
playing video.
Say,
games.
Yeah, it's a no from me. It's gonna be a no from me. Should we do another voicemail?
Let's go for it.
Okay. It's funny because remember earlier when you were talking to the person, was it Erin who called in from Ohio? And I told you she's not your friend, she's just a person who called into the podcast. This voicemail is from my friend.
Nope, Mariah. My friend.
This is my friend Mariah.
What is up, my dudes? It is Mariah. Hey, I am just walking around listening to the pod and hear that you are looking for questions that are an argument amongst friends. And boy, do I have one for you. I would love to know what your opinion on turtlenecks are. Should they exist? Yes or no? Can they be pulled off? Yes or no? Don't let the fact that I rocked one the other day, you know, deter you from your true opinion. I'm sure Travis has a terrible take, but would love to know what your opinion on turtlenecks are. All right. Love you, mean it. Bye.
Mariah, love you, mean it. You sound more Southern by the day.
Yeah, I was going to say, where's she from?
I don't think Southern, but she sure sounds like she's from the back country. Ba-doom-cha. I want to almost let Travis go first. But
go ahead.
Everything in my body is like, don't do that.
I actually prefer tortoise necks.
We're out of the bit where you're supposed to be a bombing stand-up, Travis. Bit's over.
I hate turtlenecks.
Wearing them or other people wearing them?
I haven't worn one since I was a little kid, and I refuse to wear them, and I think they are hideous. Like, on The Bachelor.
Even on other people.
Yes. I
have a question for you. What? If a girl you were dating wore a turtleneck, would you have the same feeling? Since, like, I hate that. It doesn't look good.
So that's a good point. Let me amend this. On guys, I think turtlenecks look dumb.
Okay.
Huh.
And especially,
that is an interesting
take. Like turtlenecks.
Like, if they have, like, a sweater turtleneck.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Also important to distinguish between a cowl neck and a mock turtleneck. And Travis, could you explain to our listeners the difference?
I mean, I could.
Why don't you?
I haven't Googled.
So, like, a cowl neck is when you've got a turtleneck, but the neck part is looser, and so it kind of drapes in a way. That it has this connected neck, but it also drapes in a... And that's most of the sweaters I think
I'm okay with that
of.
One.
Okay.
Okay.
For a lady, I'm assuming.
And for guys.
All right.
Okay.
And a mock turtleneck is one that covers your neck, but you don't have to fold it back down. It just, like, comes up.
Like, it's just like a higher collar.
But it doesn't have that fold.
Yeah.
For both, again, or?
No, for guys. Like, and I hate, like, the wear, like, the jacket with it. I'm like, to me, if you're going to wear, like, a sports coat or a jet suit jacket, you need to have a collar.
I'm coming back around on turtlenecks. I think my issue is the people who seem to wear them ironically like they're funny. I think that, to me, I'm over. I think I'm over the, hey, The Rock wore a turtleneck with a chain necklace, and now I'm wearing that and pretending I totally like the way it looked. It's like, just like it. If you like the way it looks, wear it. If you don't like the way it looks, don't wear it.
But yeah,
don't wear it and being like, I'm just being funny. It's like, it's a tuxedo t-shirt. We're like, all right, well, it's not funny. It's...
But these ticks were strictly for men.
Women, no, mine are for everybody. Everybody.
Men, I think, or women, I think, can pull off turtlenecks.
Well, anybody
better.
Can pull it off. It just gets stuck around your head.
I think that the way turtlenecks look are perfectly fine. Wear whatever kind of neck you want.
I slayed him. Oh, it feels good.
It was the delivery.
Good. Thank you so much. Thank you. I've been working on it.
I don't wear turtlenecks strictly because I sweat so easily and I get so hot so easily that I don't like to wear turtlenecks. Over the last couple of weeks, I have 3 turtleneck sweaters in my closet that I've had for way too long of a time. And I continue every winter, I try to put them on and make them work. I can't.
Yeah.
Because I get, with a turtleneck, at least for someone like me who gets overheated way too quickly, I can't wear a jacket with it. Because once I put the jacket on, now I'm covered everywhere.
You got
nowhere
to breathe except your hands and your head.
Exactly. So then I go outside and I'm freezing because I don't have a jacket on. But then once I go in to whatever establishment,
it sounds like what you're saying is a turtleneck is a scarf you can't take off and you're not cool with that.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yes.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I will also say I own a couple turtlenecks. I rarely wear them. The times I feel most compelled to wear them, and I'm just going to be completely honest with you. Number one, when I've just gotten my hair cut, especially if my haircut is short. If your hair isn't covering your neck anymore, whenever I put on a t-shirt, I feel like you can see too much of space around my neck area, and it's like weird. So I feel compelled to wear a turtleneck to kind of close that negative space, because I'm just terrified by how different I look with less hair than I had before. That's one time. And the other time I usually find myself wearing a turtleneck, and again, I'm just being honest, is at funerals. It feels like the most acceptable time to wear a turtleneck, where I'm like, I want to make sure you know that I knew to wear black and I knew to not wear something risque. And the least risque thing I have, the neck of this shirt goes all the way up to my chin. There can be no confusion. It's a crop top, sure, but I still think it's appropriate because it's a turtleneck.
Wearing, I think the whole idea of black at a funeral is dumb.
Oh boy, this is, I've opened a can of worms and now let's eat them. What do you, all right. What do you?
So like if I wear purple, I'm no longer being like.
Is it an eggplant or is it a royal purple?
Both. Two funerals.
I think, the whole argument to be wearing neutral / dark colors is so that you're not obnoxious and drawing attention to yourself setting to where you shouldn't be.
Yes, the point, I think, is if we had to rephrase the rule now, because we've been around for so long that some of these rules don't make sense, you have to realize why they were made. The point of the rule is very similar to don't wear white at a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Not in the sense that you're showing somebody
you're
up. You're
attention
the sense,
from the dead person?
Yes. Travis, if you walk in a tight red dress and you look great at a funeral, then it's like people are going to start talking about you. It's hard to talk about a person that isn't there. It's just you want to draw the attention away from yourself is the point.
It's highly uncomfortable. And it's uncomfortable for me, the bystander who has to watch you look like that. It's uncomfortable.
In a room, and also, if you want to do a just completely self-serving motive, if you want to make it selfish, because that seems to be very helpful, in a room full of people that are trying to avoid talking about something, don't give them something to talk about.
I'm not saying come dress like you're going to the Met Gala, but like, I don't understand why if you have a dress, there's plenty of dresses that aren't going to like take the attention that have cut, like to wear black, I just think it's
I think it's like black, navy, blue, dark brown, dark gray, like
dark
something
colors.
Boring. Don't pull off a fit at a funeral.
But I like wearing like.
Travis, you wear the same graphic t-shirt every day. If you want to just ask me if you can wear a graphic t-shirt to a funeral, ask me that. But I'm not understanding what you're against black for. I think it also makes it
easy. Because I like wearing blue suits and I like wearing like
wear
purple
and
other.
Wear a blue suit then. For women, I think it makes it easy because then you just need. The way that you guys get to be like, I have one suit. This is the only instance where women are like, I have a funeral outfit. It's the outfit I wear to funerals. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to style myself. I don't have to look. I'm just going to wear this outfit.
If we're going to make it this rule so that it just makes it easier for people, I'm okay. But I just think the idea of stealing attention, like, at no point have I ever been at a funeral, I'm like, oh, person over there.
You've never been at a funeral where somebody walks in wearing red.
I wore a red shirt at my grandmother's funeral.
Wow. So I guess you were sleeping with your grandmother then. And now we all know it. I don't know. It's just the thing that people say whenever a woman walks in looking too nice at a funeral. Is like, I heard you sleeping with him. What you're doing right now, Travis, is understanding how sexism has kept women from being able to wear what they want for thousands and thousands of years. And now it's affecting you.
I don't think this is where you wanted the argument to go, but
it went
now
here
we're here.
Anyway.
But see, my thing is let women wear what they want to wear.
Look, I'm all for wear what they want to wear, but society has told me that if I do something wrong, one of the first questions is, or if something wrong happens to me, one of the first questions is going to be like, yeah, well, what was she wearing?
Well,
so for us, it matters what
we
wear
the record
all
show
the time.
At my funeral, people can wear whatever the hell they want to.
Hell yeah. Okay. I'm going to wear a turtleneck.
I'm gonna
wear my funeral outfit.
The funeral will be at
9:30 in the morning. So I'm not even gonna make it. Let's be honest. I'll be there for the food part after, but I'm probably gonna miss the service.
No, I'm gonna need you to speak.
Oh my goodness!
That's
I would be
a lot
honored.
Of pressure,
Travis. I would absolutely be honored. I hope you never die, so that we don't have to. I don't have to actually follow through on this. So let's continue rooting for you to live, as we always do.
That's the goal.
As we always have done, it's this official stance of this podcast is that we want Travis to live.
Keep loving people.
That's it for this week's edition of Sports, I feel like. Shout out to Quip Backcountry and Dan Patrick's Full Sail University, Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. Also, shout out to the Mina Kime Show featuring Lenny. Mina has the second coolest dog, so you should check out her podcast. Did you write that?
I can't believe you said that, Katie.
That's so cute. I love that. And big thanks to you guys for listening now and then a second time. And you know what? Maybe a third time. I don't know. Today was pretty fun, I thought. There was like those voicemails that weren't expected. What a blast we had. So just listen to it a couple times on different platforms. Also, download it. That is what I've learned is the important part. But we're doing okay. You're not like required to do it. But if you download it to your phone, that's good for us.
If you subscribe, it'll download for you.
It'll download automatically, depending on your settings.
It's like having
a
system.
But you could also just, yeah, just, if for whatever reason you don't like subscribing, but you still listen to every episode, just hit download.
And
that'd be
fun
cool.
Fact for the Apple listeners, if you subscribe to it, it'll show up faster in your feed. If you don't subscribe, it takes longer.
That's true. I've had people accuse me of, this is the most recent episode, and I'm like, no, it's not. You're just not subscribed, and you told on yourself. Or you could always just leave us a nice review wherever you're listening to this podcast, which, by the way, we read. We read them so much that... I mean, this week, it was so hard for me to, before this moment right now, pick a review. Because, boy, there's just so many reviews. And it's really hard when you're talking on your podcast to search sports because it's a bunch of other podcasts that aren't mine come
up. If you subscribe to it.
I am subscribed to it, but it's hard to find because I'm subscribed to a lot of podcasts. And I don't actually listen to this one, so it has stopped downloading episodes. But here's the, well, I don't like that one. I don't like that one. Here, we love every review, with very few exceptions. Like this one from S.H. Steimer that says, "This podcast will make you love sports," is the title of the review. And then it says, "Okay, not really, because they don't talk about sports, but it is definitely sport adjacent, I think. I don't know. It's just a really great podcast and with really great people, and they do love you, and they do mean it, so listen to it." I think that's a great review.
I think you
and I'm glad that
it.
I spent all that time beforehand picking that out so that we could enjoy that together. And lastly, don't forget, you can always leave a voicemail. Leave a voicemail. I forgot my bit. At 860-506-5571. Say goodbye, Travis.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Christina.
Goodbye.
Bye. Love you. Mean it.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.